Thank you so much, ladies, for leading us in that and reminding us of his promises for us. Today's message is entitled 2021 On Purpose. Would you find in your Bible Acts chapter 8? Acts chapter 8, we'll begin in verse 1 there. On one Tuesday morning, not too long ago, we were having prayer time together as we normally do. And at the end of prayer time, Mr. Randy Petchikoff said, "Hey, would you like some, do you eat lemons and satsumas?" And I said, "Well, you know, we eat the satsumas. I'm not sure about the lemons. We'll cook with them." And he said, "Well, I'm gonna bring you some." I said, "Great." So and then he put the box in the back of my truck there, took them home. And man, there was so many satsumas. I mean, we ate satsumas for like 2 weeks and enjoyed them. And then we had this beautiful bowl, this large bowl on the counter full of lemons. And we didn't know what in the world we were going to do with all those lemons. And then Caleb and Micah had the brilliant idea, let's make some lemonade with those lemons. And so they squeezed lemons for an hour and made some of the best homemade fresh squeezed lemonade that you've ever had. And we drank the lemonade. You know, our challenge for 2021 is this: to take some 2020 lemons that we've gotten from 2020 and make some 2021 lemonade. Amen. That's what I want to do. That's what I want Myrtle Grove Baptist Church to do. That's what our purpose should be, is to take what God has given us, whatever that may be, take all the circumstances that we have, whatever they may be, and live for God's glory in 2021. I want to share this truth with you. The church thrives when it embraces its purpose, when it embraces the purpose that God has given us. So have you found your place there in Acts chapter 8? If you have, go ahead and stand with me. Acts chapter 8, begin in verse 1. Okay? Now verse 1 seems a little bit out of place, but we're going to read it anyway. "And Saul approved of his execution." We're talking about the execution of Stephen, the first deacon of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem, was stoned to death. Okay? "And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city." Let us pray together. Father God, we just thank you today for a new year, a blank calendar that we can choose to dedicate to you. Father, we know that our moments are numbered. Our days are numbered. So teach us to number our days. Teach us, Father, to allow your purpose to become our purpose in everything that we do, Lord. Help us to look to you for strength and wisdom, patience and endurance for 2021. Lord, we understand that just because a calendar date rolls over doesn't mean all the problems of the world will go away. But it does mean that we have work to do for you. And so, Lord, help us to embrace our purpose and help us to thrive because we're walking and living for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It's a great time of difficulty in the church. The church was in trouble. Church was under fire. Would they hunker down or wait it out? Would they take up swords and go to war against the establishment in Jerusalem? What would the church do? Now, that's a question on my mind for 2021. 2020 was a difficult time for the church. In many ways, it still is, even in 2021. But the question that's on my mind, and I know it's probably on some of your mind, what is the church going to do in 2021? What are we going to do? I want to tell you, the purpose of the church is the same today as it was in 2021, as it was in 2020, as it was at the very beginning. It's the same purpose. The same purpose. We're here to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ in a lost, dying, and hurting world that needs to know the good news of Jesus. That's why we exist. That's why Myrtle Grove Baptist Church exists. That's why, hopefully, you're here joining the cause to spread the good news of Jesus. The church thrives when it embraces that purpose. And that's what happened to the church in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 6, there was a calamity that rose up within the church because some of the widows were not being taken care of. And so God put it on the heart of the apostles to appoint deacons. And they appointed these men. And then everything was great after that because everyone was being looked after. The church was thriving and growing. At the end of that section of Scripture, the Bible says that the number of the disciples continued to increase, and even a great number of the priests were saved and converted to Christ because of the church that was unified in its purpose, knowing that the gospel, the preaching of the word of Christ, was the most central aspect of everything that the church did. And they wanted to protect it, and so they created deacons. Well, the first deacon then, not long after that, was brought before the council, before the Sanhedrin, questioned. And Stephen stood his ground and proclaimed the message of salvation in Christ Jesus and pointed a finger at the religious establishment and said, "You think that you own God and you've got God in a box and nobody else can have God. But you got it wrong because God doesn't live in a box. He doesn't dwell in temples made by men. And you can't keep God in a box." And that made them angry. So they stoned Stephen to death. They killed him. And so that's what leads up to Acts chapter 8. The stoning of Stephen, the first deacon, the first martyr. And then the second deacon named Philip has to flee from Jerusalem. He leaves with all of those who go out. And so this going out is called the diaspora, the going out, the scattering. So you see that word there in verse 1. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem, but everybody else is going out. Well, what's happening? Well, it's the fulfillment of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, because as Jesus is about to ascend, he's sharing with the apostles, and they're saying, "Is it now the time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus says, "It's not for you to know the times and the seasons." I love that he says that because it makes me think about 2021 and go, wonder what 2021 is going to be like. And I'm hoping, and I'm asking God, "God, is it now that you're going to eliminate COVID-19 from the earth? Please, Lord, take it away." I mean, uncertainty, I mean, Wednesday, I don't even know what's going to happen. I don't know. with this election. But we're praying about it. But Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons, which have been fixed by God in His authority. It's not for you to know. But what about you? He says, but you will receive power. Everybody say power. Power. I want power in 2021. Amen. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. And then where? In Judea and Samaria. Notice where's the church going now? It's not just in Jerusalem anymore. Because of the persecution that's upon the church, now the church is scattering and it's going out to not just to Jerusalem, but to Judea, which is the larger context around, you might say, the metro area of Jerusalem. All right? They're going out to the metro area of Jerusalem. And then to the next city over, Samaria, the cities of Samaria, that other region. They're going out, going further and reaching out. And God is spreading the good news through the church. So I want to tell you this. Number one, our mission field changes, but our mandate stays the same. Our mandate remains. We have been given this mandate that we would be His witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth, wherever we go. Notice what it says here. They were scattered. So they went out, going out. And then it says, throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, devout men accepted the apostles. And then verse 4. Now those who were scattered, what did they do? They went. Notice that there's purpose there. This is in the aorist present, which means active tense, which means that they went actively, purposefully, going out. This was their desire to go. Jesus said to go and make disciples. Wherever we go, we are on mission for our King. In the highways and byways, the work, school, play at home, in the checkout line. You ever done those self-checkouts lately? You enjoy the self-checkout line? It can be frustrating, can't it? You can lose your witness in a self-checkout line. Please scan your item. Beep. Please scan your item. Beep. So they went on purpose, knowing that, listen, wherever they are, they're a witness. And this is obviously the intent of Philip, because that's who the light shines on in the moment. He went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. So Philip knew that wherever he was going, his job was to be a witness. And notice it says, they went preaching the word. The word is related to the word evangelion, which we get our word gospel from that word. Evangelion, the evangelism, that's what he was doing. Where he was going, evangelism. We were trained in, when we went to Indonesia, we were trained in any three evangelism. Anyone, anywhere, anytime. Anyone, anywhere, anytime. That's any three. That's what that stands for. You know what that means? Anyone, anywhere, anytime. It means anyone that I see is a person that needs to hear the gospel. Anywhere means I shouldn't be afraid to share the gospel no matter where I am. I've shared the gospel at 30,000 feet in the air in an airplane before with the Buddhist woman sitting next to me. Anyone, anywhere, anytime. Well, if it's anytime, doesn't that include 2021? Anytime until the Lord returns. It's time to evangelize. It's time to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Wherever you go, and then whoever you are. Notice it doesn't say just the apostles. In fact, the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. So now the church is going out, and they're sharing the gospel. They're spreading the good news. And notice it's not the original 12 anymore, just them. It's everyone, every member of the church. You don't have to have a theological degree to tell people about Jesus. All you have to have is a relationship with Him. Listen, I can tell you about my wife, and the reason I can tell you about my wife is because I know her. I can tell you about my kids, and you know the reason why I can tell you all these funny stories about my kids and tell you about how they like to squeeze lemons and then they get all the juice all over their arms and it runs down the counter and all of that stuff. You know why I can tell you all that? Because I live with them. What is the only qualification that it takes to talk about Jesus? To know Him. And some of you, maybe today, You come into church, but you really don't have a relationship with Him. Your 2021 will come and go just like every other year until you truly know the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Prince of Peace, and He becomes your Lord and your Savior. And I don't want you to waste your 2021. God doesn't want you to waste your minutes. In 2021. You remember when you used to count minutes? Nowadays you got the cellular plan that's unlimited, right? Ooh, unlimited minutes. That sounds wonderful. But listen, that's not the reality. You're counting your minutes. You're counting every single day. And it's not counting up, it's counting down. It's counting down to the day that either you will go home to be with the Lord, or the Lord will come in the clouds and you will meet Him in the air. You're counting it down. Don't waste your minutes. So, firstly, our mission field changes, but our mandate stays the same. I'm going to read to you 2 Timothy 4:2. And Paul told this to Timothy. He said, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." And that's our mandate. Now, secondly, though, our means change, but our message stays the same. Our means change, but our message stays the same. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:20. "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Now listen to what Philip does. Philip goes down to the city, a city maybe, of Samaria, and proclaimed to them the Christ. Who is the Christ? Luke, as he's writing to us, is assuming that we understand exactly who he's talking about. But who is he talking about whenever he says Christ? He's talking about Jesus. The word there is Messiah. And everyone had come to know, in Luke's context, that Jesus is the Messiah at that point. And so he's saying he preached the Christ. He's preaching one person. And that person is the Lord Jesus. And he's fixed on that message. Philip was originally a table waiter. Basically is what the deacons were. He was originally that. But he was in charge of the daily distribution in the church in Jerusalem to the widows. That was his job. And the church in Jerusalem had grown to become a powerful, centralized church with financial means to do ministry. And now he's moving away from that context, and he's moving to a more rural context. No financial means, less structure, no support. Alone, Philip could allow that change in circumstances to silence the message. He could have said, you know what? That first deacon, Stephen, he just died because he kept talking about Jesus. He could have said, you know what? It's best that I just share with my family and share with my friends and not really do this out in public. like so many Christians do today. Just keep church at church. Because it's dangerous if I don't do that. I mean, if I do that. So I'm just gonna keep quiet. Save my own neck. He could have allowed the imminent threat to his own life, his own personal property probably, to deter his message. But instead, he preached the Christ. Why? What's so important about that message? What's entailed in that word Christ is the understanding that every single one of us is destined for a sinner's hell without the sinner's Savior. That Jesus Christ came as prophesied according to the Scriptures. He was born of a virgin. He was laid in a manger. He grew to become the most brilliant teacher that the world has ever known. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And then he died on a sinner's cross. And he was raised again on the third day. And those who believe in him, those who trust in him, can have eternal life. And this is the message. Whenever Philip went about preaching that, lives were changed for the glory of God. Revival broke out in Samaria. The church was growing. In fact, the next section here in chapter 8, verses 9 and following is all about a magician. Probably the headliner in Samaria, the one guy that everybody wanted to go out and see and listen to, was Simon Magus. When Simon heard the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he put his faith in Jesus. And it changed him. You know, Philip understood his purpose. He understood why God had put him on this earth. Purpose is so important. I asked Brother Larry to let me borrow this, and he wasn't very smart in letting me do that. But I did promise him I wouldn't break it. So I don't know much about golf. But I understand one thing about golf, about the clubs at least. This is a driver, but it's not a hammer. There's a difference. I mean, it's a lot like a hammer, right? It's got a head. It's got a handle. And you drive things with it, right? But you don't drive a nail with this. You drive a nail with this. This is an S-Wing 20-ounce piece of raw steel with a rubber handle on it. This is the most awesome hammer ever created by man. It's a brand new hammer. And it's not messed up at all. I just got this for Christmas. I didn't need it. And Micah kept asking me yesterday, "Dad, why did you get a new hammer? You already had one." I said, "I wanted one. And I asked for it for Christmas." I mean, the other one, I could have brought it. I should have brought it. I mean, it's dirty and greasy and old. I've had it for 20-something years. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's indestructible. You can't break this hammer. I've done everything with this hammer. But you know, I wouldn't want to tee up on a golf course with this hammer. You know, that wouldn't work, would it? Purpose and understanding your purpose is extremely important. It will save you. Years of frustration and heartache because you're headed down the wrong road that God never meant for you to go down. If you understand your purpose, it will keep you from hurting. My dad, going back to the hammer for a second, every time, put one of those 16 penny nails, 12 penny nail, bam, boom, hit my finger. He would say, wrong nail. You absolutely, hear me, church. You absolutely are the right tool for the job. God created you for His own purpose. You are absolutely the right tool for the job, and God knows that about you. He has uniquely gifted you and called you and shaped you and molded you and planted you, and you live at one of the greatest times in the history of the world. And if the Lord Jesus comes back in 2021, God bless him. If he doesn't, you've got work to do. Don't spend 2021 frustrated because you're hitting the wrong nail. Or you're trying to drive a golf club, a golf ball with a hammer. Bad idea. What is your purpose? What is your purpose? I want you to be a Jesus man or a Jesus woman with all your might in 2021. Colossians 1 and verse 16, God tells us what our purpose is. It says, for by Him, meaning Jesus Christ, all things were created in heaven and on earth. All things in heaven and on earth. Where are you? You're on earth. You're a created thing. Don't let the scientists tell you otherwise. The evolutionists, at least, tell you otherwise. You were created by God. You didn't evolve for an ape or a monkey. Which, by the way, where do the apes and the monkeys come from if they weren't created? Well, if they came from non-living matter, which is scientifically impossible. But if they did, who created the matter? Okay, you get this? And so all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and what? What's the last part? For Him. Through Him and for Him. In other words, for His purpose. What if I called Estwing and I said, you know what? I don't think that that hammer was really made for hitting nails. I'm going to use it to hit golf balls. They would laugh at me. They would say, we made the hammer. Don't you think we know what it was meant for? And that's what God says when He looks at your life, when you're wasting it on things that are not of Him. He says, what are you doing? I didn't create you for that. You were created through me and for me, for my purpose, not your own. I want to read to you now just a few of the resolutions of Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards was a great 18th century American revivalist. And he was a man of great resolve. We talk about resolutions this time of the year. Maybe you need to orient your resolutions around the purpose that God has for your life. Maybe think about your resolution less about losing weight and more about gaining spiritual muscle. Listen to what it says, resolved. Never. These are just about moments. So I thought it'd be appropriate. Never to lose one moment of time, but improve it the most profitable way I possibly can. His sixth resolution. Resolve to live with all my might while I do live. His 19th resolution. Resolve never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if I expected it would not be above an hour before I should hear the last trump. And look, I want to live like this very hour the Lord Jesus is going to return. His 55th resolution. Resolve to endeavor to my utmost to act as I think I should do if I had already seen the happiness of heaven and hell torments. Wow. I hope you can live that way. You were created to know and love Christ, to grow in Christ, and to show Christ to the rest of the world. So, number one, our mission field changes, but our mandate stays the same. Our means change, but our message stays the same. Our methods change, lastly, but our motivation stays the same. Our motivation is constant. So look at me, look at the passage again with me, verse 6. And the crowds, with one accord, paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame or healed. So there was much joy in that city. There's a couple of words here I want you to just think about and underscore for a moment. The first one is crowds. Crowds. Why did God allow the church to be scattered from Jerusalem? Well, the reason is there's people that live in Samaria. I wonder why God would allow 2020 and all the things that happened in 2020. There are people that God moved you from where you were, whatever circumstances you were facing, and He put you with different people in 2020. Maybe it was on a video screen, or maybe it was going into a doctor's office that you wouldn't have been in otherwise. Maybe it was standing in line somewhere. Maybe you met somebody in 2020 that you wouldn't have otherwise met. I don't know. But I do know this. God loves people. God cares about people. And so we see that word crowds, and then look again what it says. Luke uses the word several times. Many. So the crowds with one accord paid attention, and then in verse 7 it says, the unclean spirits came out of many who had them. And then again he says, many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. And then verse 8, so there was much joy in the city. You see that? Crowds, many, many, much. Sometimes God allows the difficult circumstances in our lives to take place in order that we might grow, and that more people will come to know the same God that we know. And our motivation in all of that is the same heart that's in God. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. God allowed the transition from the throne of heaven down to the manger, down to a lowly birth because of His great love for us. Which is the same motivation that was in Philip and all of the disciples who went about preaching and spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. And you can go about 2021 telling people they need to get right with God, or you can go about 2021 loving people into the arms of Jesus. And I hope that you will love them. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 16:14, let all that you do be done in love. Man, what if you could be here again this time next year and look back on 2021 and say, everything I did to the best of my ability in 2021, I did it out of love. God tells us to love God and love people. Matthew 22, verses 37 and 40 basically says that. And He said to them, Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And you may not be able to do signs and wonders like Philip was able to do, like Peter and John were able to do. But love is the biggest impact that you can have on someone else's life. When you love them enough to tell them about Jesus, and then model before them the kind of life that Jesus lived. John 13 and verse 35, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." There's this video, and it basically shares us this truth, shares with us this truth, that revival starts in the heart. It starts in the heart of the person who is so captivated by what Jesus has done and God's great love for us, that they will go out and share that with others. That's where revival really is. When you go out sharing the good news of what Jesus has done in your life. So what has Jesus done in your life? Has He made a difference in you? Has He changed you? I want you to watch this video, and I want it to provoke you, because it provokes me, and I hope it will provoke you to live in 2021 like Jesus has made a difference in you. Let's watch the video.
We want our coffee in the lobby. We watch our worship on the screen. We got a rock star preacher who won't wake us from our dreams. We want our blessings in our pocket. We keep our missions overseas. But for the hurting in our city, would we even cross the street? But we want to see the heart set free and the tyrants kneel. The walls fall down and our land be healed. But church, if we want to see a change in the world out there, it's got to start right here. It's got to start right now. Lord, it's got to start right here. Lord, it's got to start right now. I'm like the brother of the prodigal who turned his nose and puffed his chest. He didn't run off like his brother, but his soul was just as dead. What if the church on Sunday was still the church on Monday too? What if we came down from our towers and walked a mile in someone's shoes? 'Cause we want to see the heart set free and the tyrants kneel. The walls fall down and our land be healed. But church, if we want to see a change in the world out there, it's got to start right here. It's got to start right now. The Lord, start right here. The Lord, start right now. We're the people who are called by His name. If we'll surrender all our pride and turn from our ways, He will hear from heaven and forgive our sin. He will heal our land, but it starts right here. We're the people who are called by His name. If we'll surrender all our pride and turn from our ways, He will hear from heaven and forgive our sin. He will heal our land. It's gotta start right here. It's gotta start right now. The Lord, I'm starting right here. The Lord, I'm starting right now. It's gotta start right here. It's gotta start right now. The Lord, I'm starting right here. The Lord, I'm starting right now.
I'm thankful for 2020. I am. I'm thankful for 2020. If it wasn't for what God did in 2020, I wouldn't know any of you, except for the few that I met in 2019. I'm thankful because He brought us here. I'm thankful because He introduced us to our new daughter, that we didn't know before we came to Myrtle Grove. I'm thankful for even the challenges, and that's tough to say, because I know it's brought hurt, heartache. I know the church has gone through some rough things. We all have. But I'm thankful because I know that there's a God on the throne who has a purpose that He's working out in each and every one of our lives. And if going through 2020 means that we get to where we're going, hey, it's just all part of the ride. And I'm willing to walk with Him through it. Are you? Maybe 2021 is better. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But I know this. He's still going to be on the throne. He's still got a purpose for your life. Do you know that purpose? Are you living for Jesus with all your heart? Would you bow with me? Bow your heads and close your eyes. Your challenge is to take whatever God gives you, 2021, and use it for His glory. And that's possible. It's probable. But it takes a heart that's willing and ready to be used of God. He's going to do it through you. But the decision starts right now. It starts right here. Confronted by the Word of God, provoked by His Spirit, challenged by a preacher, given an invitation, what will you do? And if you'll say yes to the Lord Jesus, if you'll say yes to the Lord Jesus, God will use you in a way that you could never possibly imagine for His glory. Heavenly Father, we thank You, dear Lord, for all the blessings of 2020. And Lord, we look forward to all that You will do in our lives in 2021. And Lord, we know that You are on the throne. You're still in charge. And You still have a purpose and a plan for us because You love us. And Lord, You demonstrated that love perfectly on the cross of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, if there's one here who's never put their faith in Jesus, trusted You as Lord and Savior, I pray that today would be that day. And if that's you today, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I admit to You that I am a sinner, that I've broken Your commands, and I deserve the punishment for my sin. But Lord, I believe that You sent Jesus to die for me. And so, I ask You to be my Savior and my Lord. And I will spend the rest of my life living for and serving You. Come into my heart, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand with me? If you prayed that prayer and you meant that, then I want to invite you to come forward. Come and share what Jesus has done, making you a new person, giving you new life in His name. If that's you, let today be the day that starts a whole new journey for you, a whole new life for you. And share that with us so that we can celebrate over what God is doing. And for you, if you're a Christian, you know the Lord, and you've been challenged by this message, you've been provoked to seek after Your purpose, I want to tell you, commit it right now. Mark it down. Say it with everything that you've got that 2021 is going to be for the Lord. And if that means recommitting your life to Him, you come. And we'll do that right now. If you need prayer, come and we'll pray for you. If you want to join the work of the Lord that's happening here at Myrtle Grove Baptist Church and become a member of this church, you come. You come as the Lord leads you. You come freely. Nobody's making you come. You come because you've decided to follow Jesus. Let's sing our hymn of invitation.